Today in the EU, MEPs are voting on controversial migration pact. The very controversial asylum and migration pact reached by EU institutions last December is being formally voted by members of the European Parliament. Hello and welcome. I am Evi Chiori and this is Euractiv's Today in the EU podcast. We sat down with Eleonora Vasquez and Aurélie Pugnet from Euractiv's Politics Hub to discuss how the vote will pan out and what does it mean. Eleonora, what is exactly the new pact on migration that has now been endorsed by the European Parliament Civil Committee?
Well, this migration pact is very controversial, I would say, because first of all, it's a group of regulations that will aim to regulate border procedures at the European border. So it will not affect stuff like search and rescue activities at sea, or will not regulate, for example, permits, visas, and so on. It's just a matter of when asylum seekers or a refugee or a settled person arrive at the European border, there are certain procedures that has to be implemented, and it will be implemented at the European level. I would also say that this migration pact will basically make legal some procedures that are already there, that are de facto already at the border. So I wouldn't expect that after that pact that there would be huge changes in terms of border procedure, because really most of the provisions inside the asylum pact were already in de facto application.
And why is this pact controversial?
By default, the concept of an asylum application is usually a concept of protection. So there is a person that has to be protected because this person is asking for international protection. So, but with this environment in the European Union of closing the border, keeping the migrants away for mainly electoral purposes, in this pact, there are some provisions that are not improving the protection of these people, but are improving the way these people will be or detained or pushed away. Mm-hmm. So this is the main controversial part. Of course, it's a matter of interpretation, because laws are always by interpretation, are not, you know, and the political environment is the way and the direction things are interpreted.
Is this something that will be taken into consideration? Is there still time to change the legislation?
So in December, there was a provisional agreement among the co-legislators, so the European Parliament, the Council of the EU, and the European Commission. So in the trilogue, there was an agreement of 5 regulations. Then after that, in the European legislative process, you need the formal approval by the co-legislators, so the Council of the EU and the European Parliament, to stamp it, basically, and then to be published in the EU journal. So we are in that stage. So we have a group of 5 regulations plus other regulations that were endorsed in the trilogue in December 2022. And we are in this stage that the Council already approved some of them.
The stamp is there
now. The first stamp on some of them is already there. And then now we are looking at the stamp of the Parliament. This vote will be very controversial because some MEPs are realizing step by step what it is in it.
They're actually reading the text and they're realizing that, okay.
Yeah, some of them that were not, of course, directly involved, maybe that I cannot say who exactly will vote against. But I expect, for example, the left, which is the smaller group at the European Parliament, to vote against. But I would expect also some members of the bigger group, like some socialists to vote against. Already, for example, Pietro Bartolo from the Italian Democratic Party said that he disagree with some part of the migration pact. So let's see how it goes. There is a high degree of pressure on the pact from the external audience because it's high political pressure, but also from the inside the parliament.
And regarding the external pressure, the main question about the pact is related to violations of human rights. More than 80 human rights organizations, including Human Rights Watch, International Rescue Committee, the Platform for International Cooperation on Undocumented Migrants, issued a statement warning that the incoming legislation poses a grave threat to rights at Europe's borders. Is this something that will be taken into consideration, or do you think it will just be brushed over?
It's kind of too late because we are in the stage of that they have to put a stamp on
the final one.
Exactly. So when they will vote on the pact, there will be no amendments. Some MEPs are realizing it step by step. So what the maximum they can do is just to vote against. But if you vote against, there will be the second time in 10 years that the European Union will fail to have an EU harmonized rule on migration. So there is a lot of political pressure, and is also on the cyber European institution that years and years of negotiating will be wasted in just one vote. This is something that was already there, that there are violation and potential violation according to this pact that are extremely worrying. For example, Eurodac is a system that gather information, for example, fingerprints or racial profiling of migrants entering in the process. Also, kids from 6 years old onwards will be registered in the system of Eurodac. At the moment, the age is 14, so it will be reduced dramatically. Even though the kid will not allow to take the fingerprints or will oppose to this, proportionate coercion can be used against the kid. So this is written in a law. Consider that since it's not very explained what it means proportionate coercion, you can imagine the degree of abuse to kids.
Mm-hmm. And to a six-year-old now.
Exactly.
Now, the other question is, how will national governments implement this? Would they follow the rules decided in Brussels, or...
National governments are very happy about these pacts, most of the national governments, because it's a pact in which member states will be strongly sovereign in the border procedures, but at the same time will have the same rules in the all member states. Electorally speaking, they can say we deliver a migration pact, so they will be very happy. In practice, I don't think it's going to change a lot. And I think Italy will have a lot of to lose, for example, also Greece, because will not solve a lot of problems, for example, in terms of relocations, in terms of countries in the front line that will have, at least from a perception, of strong migratory pressure. So member states overall, they are very happy, even the most, you know, center-right or center-left are very happy about this pact.
Yes, and I would like to stay a bit longer on what you said, that this pact isn't a win for Italy or Greece and the other countries at the forefront of migration. Why is this the case?
Yes, on the regulation on migration and asylum, which is one of the main file of the pact, basically the secondary movements from the country the person is registered to a second country in the EU are discouraged. So this is the main policy on this regulation. So, for example, siblings are not considered a category for family reunification. So there will be very strict rules for movements of the migrants if the application is accepted, because there will be a lot of people that will not be accepted, mm-hmm. and will have return or detention for a long period and then return. So it will be very, very hard, according to this act, for secondary movement, and relocation are absolutely not mandatory, as we talk a lot about it. Also, the Polish government said many times we are against the pact because we are against mandatory relocation. But they were never there, even in the first proposal of the European Parliament.
Sorry, Eleonora, but from what you're explaining now, not much has changed. And it really looks like we're back to zero, because it is true that the countries that are the forefront of migration are the ones that are carrying the weight. And with this pact, they will continue to do so. So I would expect more changes. So I'm not really sure I'm understanding what is the point of having a new pact.
The point, I think, is mainly electoral and maybe make it illegal what was already there in terms of practices. And also, I just want to highlight that this pact, of course, doesn't address pushbacks. So what are pushbacks? Pushbacks are, so a person arrive and this person says, I want to apply for international protection.
And then
the bodyguard
is like,
look at them and said, no, just go back. Or they put, as it happened in Greece, they put in a raft with kids and just, you know,
send it back.
They don't even start the procedure.
Mm-hmm.
So collective pushbacks that are normalized, happen regularly, which are illegal under international law, are happening and are not addressed by the pact, because the pact is about you start the procedure and then you start different channels of procedures.
And now that we've explained the migration pact with Eleonora in the interview we had recorded some days ago, Aurélie has joined us in the studio to bring the new developments on this. Today we're doing things a little bit differently, Aurélie. Tell us, what's the last information we know on this?
The last thing we know is that it's still unclear whether the pact will actually go through the parliament. Mm-hmm. So what's happening today is really that the parliament is voting altogether as to whether there will be a pact or not. It's a pack of 9 different pieces of legislation, and the parties are split. You have what they call a pro-EU majority, that is the EPP, so the centre-right parties, the socialists and the liberals that say that they are in favour of the pact. However, yesterday, the leader of on the file from the EPP, Thomas Tobe, said himself he is going one by one, seeing his teammates in his own party to double check whether they will actually vote in favor of it. Can you imagine? They've been working on this for the past 3 years and they're not sure that it will actually go through. And this is the same message that was given by the Liberal rapporteur, Fabien Keller, and Socialist as well, and even actually to a certain extent to this Conservative rapporteur, which, like, who comes from a party that is quite split actually on the topic. So they are really raising this issue of, okay, do we actually want to move on? Do we want to take a sense of responsibility here for the EU and try and fix an issue that we've been trying to find a solution for the past 9 years?
And Eleonora mentioned that migration will be instrumentalized on political campaigns by leaders. Do you have any concrete examples on who is following this path?
Yes, in France, actually. So the party from President Macron, sitting in parliament, has said very publicly that they will be using this pact and this vote as a campaign move, which is very interesting because for them, migration, the fact that they've been trying to find a solution to an issue that was raised multiple times by the far-right parties and mainly the main opposition that they face back in France, which is the Rassemblement National, the far-right party, is them saying, well, you're not doing anything to tackle migration. And they will, so Macron's party is planning definitely on using that vote and saying, well, we're trying to find a solution. Nothing will be ever perfect, that is for sure. But we're at least trying to present something. And so I think we can expect this to happen not only in France, but in other countries where you see that there will be influx of arrivals, as it always does over the summer. And it will be just after the elections. And there you will see a lot of campaigning around migration and what has been done, what is not being done, what could have been done, what should never have been done. And of course, NGOs will definitely, over the next few days and weeks and months, and never stop praising human rights issue, which is also a large part of the campaigning on the socialist side.
Thank you very much for joining me on this episode. I am Evi Chiori, and this was Today in the EU. Visit Euractiv to stay on top of the latest news. Sign up to our podcast newsletter. If you haven't subscribed yet, you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever it is that you get your podcasts. This episode was produced by myself, Miriam Sainz de Tejada, and Nicoleta Ionta. Thank you for tuning in, and we will be back tomorrow. As part of our commitment to accuracy, inclusion, and transparency, Euractiv is part of the Trust Project.